back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. You know, I have my Coons Fort shirt on. It's by accident. It's cold in here, and the winter's come in. I'm trying to get all warmed up in the studios here. We got the mayor. We're doing the Maryland Lottery and the Crab Cake Tour this week on Wednesday with Mayor Brandon Scott. We're going to be having the Coco's Crab Cake and moving all around the Beltway. And at some point, I'm going to get over to Catonsville, I think on December the 9th, and get this guy, pull him off the showroom floor over there at Security Boulevard. Well, we had a weekend of sitting around and waiting, and I know you were witnessing such things in South Florida, Dennis Colazzos. You'll be back on the beat on Thursday. I'm sure you'll have a lot to say, but when the team turns in a clunker like they did on Thursday night on short rest, you begin to wonder and you say, is that a throwout game? Is that a four-day rest after playing 70 minutes against Minnesota? Where is it? Where were the emotions? Where was their ability to play, compete? But this is a long week of pondering before they get to Chicago. The season took an interesting twist in Miami on Thursday night.
It did. We were there. We were fired up. And it didn't work out the way it was planned by the Ravens. And they just got worked on both sides of the line of scrimmage. Didn't look like they adjusted much. And look, now with on the heels of watching the Washington football team defeat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Detroit Lions forcing a tie against the Steelers without Ben Roethlisberger. It is very much a week-to-week league, Nestor, and I think that's the biggest takeaway. You've got to bring your A game every single week, or you're going to get your feelings hurt. You're going to go home with a loss.
Well, and in the case of the Ravens and how they played and where the offensive line is and where the running game is, and I know we talked about some of the existential issues of running the ball 21 times with your quarterback in 70-minute football games, and the Steelers played themselves a 70-minute football game and had a different kind of result as well. But in the case of where they are and the way the team is trending right now with injuries and trying to get guys back, a little disconcerting, I think, to see the Chiefs start to look good again, right? You know, seeing that little piece of it to say, what's the top end for the Ravens? What's the best they're going to look with Devontae Freeman, Le'Veon Bell, Alejandro Villanueva at left tackle, no Ronnie Stanley, no Peters. These guys aren't coming back. What's their best game? What's optimal for them? And I don't know that it's Lamar running 21 times, but protecting him in the pocket, not designed runs. He has to take off. There's going to be more and more of that happening because I don't see the protection around him being particularly good, and I don't see the running attack without him, aside from him, being acceptable enough that he's going to be having these run 7-8 games, throw the ball 31 times, have that kind of success, because I don't think they pass protect well, and I don't think they're run blocking very well right now.
Yeah, they're definitely have a lot of room for improvement. And this upcoming game against the Bears, Nestor, it's a huge game. To me, it's you know, you hate to call it a must-win game, but if they don't beat the Bears, they're going to have a very difficult time going forward. The game against the Dolphins was winnable. As bad as and as poorly as they played, they still had a shot to win it in the fourth quarter. But if they come out and lay a stinker against the Bears and lose that game and drop to 6-4, they have a very tough schedule, and the Steelers are going to be there. The division's going to come down to them, and the Ravens with Ben Roethlisberger back. We saw the Patriots demolish the Cleveland Browns. I mean, the Browns, Baker Mayfield's not the answer. He looked very, very bad against a very good scheme that Bill Belichick and company threw at him. So the Bengals are still a year or two away. So the division crown will come down to Mike Tomlin's squad and John Harbaugh's squad, for sure.
Well, the heartening part was how bad Pittsburgh and Cleveland looked over the weekend, right? So, you know, we stink, we watch them stink, and we think, okay, that doesn't mean we're not going to stink, and it certainly doesn't mean anything to the four games we have coming up in the next 7 weeks against those teams, that we're going to be seeing those teams in whatever depleted state they're in. There's no Odell Beckham Jr., although we'll have to deal with him in week 17, 18, whatever that is. There's been movement in the division in a lot of ways, and Roethlisberger with this COVID thing. But I do want to get back to the Ravens and the experience and going to the game. And be, I did not go to the game. And, you know, I've been gone every road game for 25 years. The last 2 years, things have changed a little bit. My back certainly was the reason I wasn't in Miami last week. I'm supposed to go to Chicago this week then. I'm concerned about roller bag and, you know, I couldn't carry my backpack to the stadium from where I live last week. So I don't know that I'm actually going to get there. But the vibe in the stadium, I heard all the purple. That stadium, so European, even if you've been there before. I've seen Roger Clemens pitch World Series games there, and I've seen Matt Stover miss the field goal there 20 years ago, right? Like, so I've seen, and I saw the mud game when they put Marino and retired his jersey there. So I've been to that stadium many times. I also saw the Terps get their butts kicked in the Orange Bowl there by Florida one time. So I think about the events there. The other night was sort of set up to be this homecoming for Lamar and for Hollywood. And like all the things that I thought would happen against a bad team, not just that they would win or that they could survive it or get through it. I was worried about how all of it, the emotions of all of it. It didn't have a good vibe to me on Thursday night.
It really didn't. There was a threat of rain in the forecast. I was surprised by the amount of fans from both teams that were there. The Miami crowd show up. They were loud. But there were also a ton of Ravens fans there, some who had been transplanted and retired to Florida, and some that had flown in for the weekend, for a long weekend, taking advantage of the beautiful weather. But the crowd was loud on both sides early on. But I tell you what, the Ravens fans didn't have a whole lot to cheer about, particularly in that second half. So it was a kind of a quirky night for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Dennis Colatos is here. He's got cars over at Coons Ford Security Boulevard. Stop by, say hello. If you're on the WNST Tech Service, you'll be getting all the reports all week long. Luke's going to be out in training camp. The one thing I would say about the league and watching Red Zone all weekend and watching other teams struggle, the Chiefs notwithstanding, and they look good, and they should be the ones we're worried about. How about the Patriots and the young quarterback there? How about Arizona completely falling apart without their quarterback? And quarterback play in general and where it is. I mean, I saw Derek Carr throwing passes. I'm like, dude, you're 8 years in the league. How are you? What are you doing? And then, you know, Aaron Rodgers comes back and plays. It's such a quarterback league. And when you sit and watch it all day on Sunday and watch Mason Rudolph try to do this, it really takes on a different flavor for what we do here every week and what we tried to do before Lamar. Lamar is so different because the running game, you always have to worry about Lamar. But when the passing game takes a day off, Joe Flacco's in there doing mop-up, throwing touchdown passes, wearing 19.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the evil empire in the form of the New England Patriots. They're back. They look very good. I think they've won five straight. Mac Jones looks the part. They have wide receivers that can actually catch the ball. They have a good running game. The defense is very good. Matt Judon looks great, and they're going to be a factor. They look very much the part of a playoff team at this stage, and no better coach than Bill Belichick. And Mac Jones, having the benefit of playing for Nick Saban in college, winning a championship, going to an organization like the Patriots, that they're always very relevant. And now with Bill Belichick having a chip on his shoulder, Tom Brady's won a championship without him. I'm sure he feels now it's his turn. And his team is looking very, very good. They're going to be a problem in a tough out in the AFC playoffs.
Yeah, I said that to Luke for the first time. I'm like, all right, I'll give you that the Ravens are going to win 10 or 11. I'll give you even that they're going to win the division, although I'm not. Yeah, I know they're trying to get me to bet on this league. You know, every week they're trying to get me to bet on it. I would not bet right now that the Ravens are going to win the division. I don't have that level of confidence. Now, that being said, I think the Steelers stink and the Browns stink, but we have to go play them. Until I see us beating those teams 2-3 weeks from now, you know, I might feel differently about this on December 6th or 7th than how I feel about it. I hadn't thought about the Patriots. I mean, I think we all looked at the Chargers and we looked at the Raiders at one point and said, you know, maybe those teams will be around. Certainly the Titans have proven, even without Derrick Henry, that they're going to be formidable. I don't think the Colts are real. Any thought about the Dolphins, these other teams that were these fringe teams that might be playoff teams. So you think, okay, Ravens are going to be in the playoffs. Well, they're going to have to play 2 or 3 games, right? Who are they going to be playing besides the Bills, besides the Titans? Boy, the Patriots, I don't want to see them come in here January. I guess it would be January 20th because I always say, well, the first week of January, the second week of January. All of a sudden, the first week of the playoffs is the fourth week of January. It's crazy.
I think if these teams were playing this weekend, Esther, if they were playing up in Foxborough, the Patriots would be probably about a 5-6 point favorite. If they were playing Baltimore, they'd probably be a 2 or 3 point favorite. I think they're the better team right now. And again, they're going to be a problem, not just for the Ravens, but the entire league. The man's been there, done that. He's got a heck of a defense he's built. Offensive line looks good. Defensive line looks good. Quarterback's coming along. Running game is there. So there's a lot to like about this Patriots. As much as we dislike the organization, maybe, there's a lot to like about this football team based on what we saw in their victory against the thumping against the Cleveland Browns.
Well, give me a game day experience. I mean, I'm the league veteran, right? I mean, I've been to every stadium in the league now, and I'm trying to think if there's any place. L.A. would be the place I haven't been. So when I see SoFi Stadium, I haven't been there. And I've had experiences through generations now in so many of these places where when I see some of these stadiums that still feel like new stadiums to me, I think – I've been going to Cleveland 20 years now. I mean, Pittsburgh stadiums back to last century with, you know, Three Rivers. We played a handful of games there. Cincinnati stadium's now been up as long as our stadium's been up. It's 1 year different. So these new stadiums and experiences, you haven't been as much like a road warrior in all this. And I haven't been to as many road games the last couple of years. Divide me out on this because outdoors, the Miami experience has always been like the weather's great and the team usually sucks and there's usually plenty of good seats available. And when they didn't have the bra over the stadium, it was an awful 1 o'clock, terribly hot place to be in September and October. It felt to me to be like a fun experience. I had a lot of friends at the game that were enjoying it for the first time, or even if you've been to Miami before, the stadium's a lot different. If you were at the game a couple years ago for that Hollywood 59-10 game or whatever, I was at that game. That was the first time I was in the newer stadium, but it's quite an experience to spend a couple days in Miami in November when it's 80 degrees out and you're wondering, whoo, I got to put the sweatshirt on when I get home, right?
Yeah, the weather was perfect. It was just perfect. No breeze, no wind. It was 77, 76 degrees at kickoff. Scored a nice parking pass courtesy of our good friend Bruce Posner, so I was able to park on the premises.
Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you, Bruce. Very clean, very organized, short walk to the stadium. I thought the ambiance was very good. It was very clean. It was bright. It was airy. It was open. Had a heck of a good Cuban sandwich there. The bread was perfect and the meat was perfect. And yeah, so the beverages were on point. They were nice and cold. And I, you know, it was just a really good vibe. It was Veterans Day, so they recognized their veterans, you know, pregame and at halftime and postgame. So, and the crowd was nice. Didn't see many idiots in the stands. And we also had the benefit of sitting with a lot of Ravens fans too. So it felt to me very much like a Ravens game. I'm sure on TV during the anthem, the O was very prominent as we all screamed at the top of our lungs. So the overall experience of being there was awesome. The only thing that lacked was the outcome, and we couldn't turn the TV off. Not that we would, because we're always of the mindset that they're going to come back and win it with the last minute heroics by Lamar Jackson. But it was really a nice trip. It was a wonderful trip and a wonderful experience, and the people there couldn't be nicer.
Dan, I would tell you, you know, from the beginning in 96, now we're going back 25 years, a team comes, and the first trip that I took people on was on my birthday. It was the Colts game in Indianapolis. Got some seats on a plane, started taking people on trips. The next year, we went to San Diego, and then we went to Atlanta, and we never got on a plane where they won. I mean, the first couple of years, the first time I ever got on a plane after they won a road game was the Stoney Case Justin Armour game. And even in the best years, bro, even the best Billick years, we were 7-1 at home, 4-4 on the road, you know, kind of team. A lot of beatdowns in Pittsburgh and feelings hurt on bus rides back in New England and flights to places where we weren't the better team. And then some of these trips like the Jacksonville, where Ray Rice ran the ball 4 times and Camp Cameron, and we lost, like terrible road games and disappointments and stuff. I would just say, for what the Ravens have represented over 25 years, that on these Thursday night games in warm places, we travel well. And we have for 15 years. It doesn't shock me. But I'm always the guy there, and I'm usually the guy there now in the press box. I used to be in the stands the first 15 years before Twitter and my job sort of moved me into that direction. Now I'm home watching it, and it's a whole different thing to watch it on TV and to see. And the really neat part is the vicarious part of watching people walk the boardwalk in Hollywood. Get a jet ski, blow off the weekend and have a good time and just lay on the beach or go to Butterfly World or see friends or go down. I had friends in Versailles down eating Cuban food, Calle Ocho. So many people having a good time. Football's great in that way. Bringing people together, to your point. You make a nice weekend out of it, you get some sunshine. Yeah, a lot of people didn't consider that 20 years ago, and I think the Ravens have made that. Whether it was Vegas early in the year, and I think we all lamented that that was a different kind of trip because of COVID and whatnot. This felt to me to be one of the normal Raven trips, you know, like where you didn't wear a mask. It was outside. It's Florida. It's beachy. It's sunny. That it was a really nice experience, game notwithstanding. And I went to London.
You know, and I want to thank you for all the great recommendations that you made to me and my family. We did the jet ski thing. We ate at the great Cuban restaurants, and it was amazing. We went to the Everglades, saw some alligators. So
see, I haven't done that yet.
Oh, it was really good.
No. You did the airboat?
Did the airboat.
Whoa. Hold on here. Now, listen, I've been going down to Florida, to Fort Lauderdale, when the Orioles started training there in 95-6, okay, like after the strike. So I was 27 at the time. And, you know, I'm trying to think. I interviewed for a job at the Miami Herald in 1989, and I spent 3 days in Miami as a young person trying to get a job there, and I turned it down. They offered me a job I didn't take, and I stayed here, and I thought about working there, but going down there in the 90s and staying up at Cypress Creek, it was the one thing I always wanted to do, and I've been to Louisiana, all of that, and my wife, every time we go, I'm like, I don't like mosquitoes, so I'm a little, you know, I need to put some off on to go do it, but I'm not like afraid of the gators or like any of that kind of weirdness, but I've always wanted to do it. So like, please give me the record. Would I want to do your experience?
Oh, I think you would. It's a lot of fun. You get an airboat with a bunch of people. And we actually saw seven sizable alligators. We saw some iguanas up in the trees. And afterwards we were treated to an alligator show. The guy had about a dozen alligators he had rescued in the pit. And there were 10, 12 footers, and did a great show and educated us about the alligators, and they had all kind of other animals there. They had some foxes and some iguanas and some boa constrictors. So it was just, for the money, it was $60. It was a fantastic experience, and everybody really, really enjoyed it.
Any mosquito bites?
You know what? I was the only one that kept getting bit. I didn't use off. I should have. They're attracted to me for some reason. Maybe my meat is sweet. I don't know what it is, but they love to sting me, to bite me everywhere I go. So that was nothing unusual about
that. I
have
the same problem. So that's why, like I'm an off guy. The only way I'm getting on that boat is if I have off. I made the mistake. We went to Crisfield, and we went out to Smith Island, and they have like the no-see-ums. And they bit me all on the back of my skull. Like when I was back the next day, all of us, all of our necks were red under our hairline. Yep. There was something about these mites that got after us. And I'm thinking, what an idiot I am going to Smith Island. Everybody knew it was a bug capital of the universe, and I didn't like do anything about it. So look, when I get on the airboat, I will have mosquito, but I'm going to do it. It's on my bucket list. It's something I want.
They didn't get me in the airboat. They got me at the restaurant before we went there. So the airboat was okay. We were moving, so I guess they didn't have a chance to bite me. But I didn't get bit at the park at all. No, zero mosquito bites there. So you'll be okay.
Well,
but still take off those, just out of abundance of caution. I would recommend it.
See, the Oriole players back in the 90s, they would go fishing and hunting and golfing and whatever. And a couple of the players invited me, you know, out on a boat. Ben McDonald would do it in a heartbeat because Ben was like an alligator wrestler. One thing I did, this is in my lexicon of experience, when 1998, when I went to Australia, I did a Kentucky tour. So this was like a under 35, a lot of single girls, few dudes, but it was a safe environment for women to travel on a bus with, you know, like a tourist bus, but young people, parties, you know, bars at night, but young people stuff to do during the day, things you'd be interested in doing. And one of them was, do you want to go to the crocodile farm? the Caranda, you can Google this, Caranda Crocodile Farm. And I went and these crocodiles, you know, like, so we, and we got to hold the little ones. I have pictures of me holding the little crocodiles.
Same here.
Yeah. So I did an experience with crocodiles, but not alligators. And I'll say this, I've driven Alligator Alley 20 times in my life, right? It's a road, you go 90 miles an hour, there's fencing along it all the way through, there's no gas stations, there's nowhere to pee. If you get out of the car, the bugs come, it's terrible. So, and I've done that 20 times for baseball games, concerts, Tampa, you know, back and forth doing it, right? I have never seen an alligator, okay? I mean, and like literally I'm looking for them. I'm literally always looking because I want to see an alligator. I had never seen an alligator in my life in the wild in any way, despite driving to the Key. Like, I just have never seen an alligator. And swear to God, Den, this happened. It was this year. My wife and I laid over in Orlando, coming back from a trip this summer for our anniversary. And the Orlando airport, it's Disney World. It's full of, like, we had to go into Disney and like, find fast food in the airport with masks on a Sunday night. It was a disaster. So, and nobody can get employees. It was, you know, like, trying to eat at the airport. Tough. We were on the little people mover that moves you from, like, the main hub out. I saw an alligator. And I thought it was fake, like, in the little swamp at the airport. And I swear I thought it was fake. And I'm like, it was like seeing a shooting star. And I'm 52 years old at the time. My whole life been searching for that alligator that's not at the zoo or on TV. Like, to really, hey, that's a real alligator. There's a sign that says, beware the alligators. I've been to places like that, but I've never seen an alligator. This was like legitimate eyes above the water, beady little eyes, body underneath, moving around. And I'm like, they got alligators in the swamp at the Orlando airport. Like, I never knew that. And now I've told, like, my son goes to Disney. He's like, yeah, they got alligators. You see them all the time. And I'm like, that's not welcome to Florida. Have a nice day. That's not what they should be showing to children when you land in Orlando. That's my opinion.
Well, also, every time you see a picture, a cartoon of an alligator, they're green, but they're actually black. So that they kind of get their bad rep over there. They're misrepresented in terms of their color scheme. So then, but yeah, they're everywhere. Swamps everywhere, water everywhere, and they're there all the time.
They have to be humanely removed from the premise, is what I'd say. Yeah, right where the Port Charlotte Stadium. My mother-in-law lives in that area, and I went over there when my buddy Rick Vaughn was running the Rays. And literally, right next to their stadium, it's like alligator signs everywhere along the swamp where you park your car. And I'm like, maybe I don't need a Class A baseball game. Maybe I'm a little out on minor league baseball today. I don't need to do that. Dan, I'm sorry it was a bad news final. We'll get better news Thursday. We'll be back 3 to 5.
Absolutely.
Getting you ready for Chicago, Illinois. Hopefully I can get some deep dish pizza out there and enjoy myself. And hopefully we get a better news final. It's certainly this time next week, stuff starts to get real in the division, right?
Absolutely. They got to show up. They've got to scheme better, play better, block better, tackle better, do everything better, coach better too. That's the other part of it.
All right, man. Take care of those mosquito bites, bro. At least
you got it.
At least one of us got to go to Florida last week. You know, Dennis Colazzos. He's the Colazzo Show. He'll be here on Thursday. You know, I've been so many times that I'm at the point in my life where I'm like the feeling good for all my friends who get to go, so including Chicago in the upper deck this weekend. I'm Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive with friends.